So tonight we have the honor and privilege of having Brother Tom and Ms. Janice Crawford with us. They first were connected with our church through Preacher Jimmy, and the church began our relationship with them and supporting them. We were discussing it at dinner back in 1973. So we have been partnering together and ministry with them for 50 years. I've just loved the time that we've gotten to spend together today, getting to know one another. Brother Tom Stance, they're passionate about the Lord, about ministry. I know they'll be a blessing and encouragement to you tonight. They have 3 daughters and 1 son, all with their own families and 10 grandkids.
10 grandkids.
10 grandkids. So
and
I do pray.
One
great grandchild. So do be praying for them and their family. They'll have the opportunity to be together over Christmas holidays. So pray for them. I know that they'll be a blessing to you tonight. So we look forward to hearing from you, brother.
Thank you, Brother James. Thank you, Brother. And Brother Dan. It has been a real pleasure. I had not met either of these men before this time. And got to see Brother Knopf Singer. So good to see him again. But it is our pleasure to represent you there in the land of Indonesia. We went to Indonesia in 1973, and you folks have supported us, our entire ministry out there in Indonesia. During our first few years, we started several churches out there. I started them there in the city of Jakarta. I basically started among Javanese people. It was very easy in those times to start churches. We had a lot of people came to know the Lord. We had a Bible school. Ultimately, we had many people that came from without the island of Java, where we live in the city of Jakarta, which is the capital. And I spent a good portion of time helping our students that went up into the Borneo area, Sumatra area, and that. But about 7 years ago, we did come back to Jakarta. Actually, we've been living in Jakarta the whole time. But I came back specifically just to stay and minister in Jakarta, and I started a new work there. Been the hardest work I ever started in Indonesia. Been the hardest work I ever started in Jakarta also. But God has recently really blessed, and we thank the Lord for all that He's doing. We've had some great opportunities to serve the Lord. This present church that we have is there in the city of Jakarta. We call it simply Jesus Baptist Church. And God has blessed. These are some of the folks. I actually have an Indonesian service and then an English service. And this is the first time in my life that I ever had an English service in Indonesia. But the Indonesian service has been a struggle to grow, but the English service has. Most of the people that come to the service are Indonesians. We do have a Korean man. We have some Filipino people. God has given us a great opportunity to minister. And just recently has brought several new people into the ministry. And it's really begin to grow well this time. And we trust that you will continue to pray for it. This is just some of the folks. And after services, we often go out together and eat. That's what we're doing down there at the bottom. That's what Baptists do. We fellowship and have a good time. I had 3 goals in starting this church: simple Bible preaching, simple Bible discipleship, and simple Bible missions. And that was one of the things. This church was to be based on ministry only. And we give half of all of our offerings. We pick a missionary each month, and we give him half of our offerings. These missionaries are mostly missionaries. I am now working with the Asian Baptist Clearinghouse in the Philippines. Most of them are Filipino missionaries that are going out there, going every place. So we'll take one of them, we'll give them one offering. And then we also faithfully support each month. We have 16 different missionaries now that we're supporting. I know it doesn't look like much, but you know, these people give. They're wonderful about it. We rent the place that we're working in. We're actually, right now, we're in an apartment there. And God is really blessed. This, during our mission conference this year, we had a speaker from Russia. He's something. Valentin Sumprum. He's up in Kalimantan. He's going out there among the Dayak people up there. And then we also had, they're both standing toward the back. I think they're there. I'd have to dig them out. No, they're not in this picture. Pardon me, they're not in this picture. This is Brother Garcia. You see him over on the left. He was in this picture. But the other brother we had, he's down in Papua. Has 9 children. He was raised in Papua. God called him to go back to Papua. And we had a great missions conference. Our people were thrilled. And they're very good. They're turning into extremely good givers. Here's the group of all of them. Brother Supreme right there in the middle. And then standing right beside him in the blue shirt there, Brother David. Great day. David. Anyway, David is out in Papua. My Alzheimer's hit me here real bad, okay? But it's been a thrill. It's exciting to serve the Lord, and it always is. Well, that is our basic ministry right now. We've been running practically everything through that. We also have another thing that we're involved in right now, and that was one of the reasons that I wanted to be able to talk to the young people this morning. And I formed a foundation up in Batam Island. It's just across from Singapore. And we started a Christian school there. It's done very well. God is really blessed in it. The church there started in 2004. He actually came out of one of our first churches that we started there. Went up and he has a really good ministry. He developed a very good ministry up there and had a large group of young people also. And God is really blessed and we've been able to start this Christian school. Been in the process of working on it each year. We just add one class and we're working our way up. And God has continued to bless. We have about 155 students this year. Then, one of my greatest things that I enjoy is this one right here. And every Monday night, I have six guys. Now, we have a Bible school. I actually started a Bible Institute there in the city of Jakarta. It was instrumental in actually starting. I restarted it. An old missionary was leaving, and I asked if I could restart. I wanted to do it in a different way. We did, and for years that has run. And it's basically been moved down to Central Java, partly because of government regulations and things. But I have these men. We have a small Bible Institute that we run with a group of the pastors out in Banten, which is just an area outside of Jakarta. And every Monday night, I get together with these guys. They all work jobs, and I've been working with them specifically on learning to develop bivocational ministry there in Indonesia. These guys are wonderful. They come together. They endure me every Monday night. And actually, it gets to the place where finally I have to tell them, look, I do really need to go home. Wonderful group of guys that we have out there. Well, I do want to give you time later if you have any questions. Hold on a second because I want to ask you a question. Are you a missionary? Are you a mission field? Hey, have you ever heard that statement? You are either a missionary or you're a mission field. Is that true or not? True, he said. How many agree? True. Oh, yeah, I like you guys. Okay, so I'd like to just give you a short little thing on a missionary or a mission field tonight for you to think about. Hold those questions. Any questions you got about Indonesia, I hope I'll give you enough time. He was speaking the word to them, Jesus. And they came bringing to him a paralytic, carried by four men, being unable to get him there because of the crowd. They removed the roof above him, and when they had dug an opening, they let him down on the pallet on which the paralytic lay. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Missionary. Do you know the word missionary never appears in the Bible? You look and look, it's not there. But it is there in the word, in particular when we talk about it. Missionary, of course, in the English language is a noun. A person sent. He attempts to persuade. It's very important that you don't continue that definition right there. We're not out there to convert anybody. If God doesn't convert them, it doesn't work. We have a message to tell them, okay? It's a missionary. Missionary used as an adjective does not work real well because it always gets involved with a religious organization. Well, this religious organization, we are not out there promoting any particular religious organization. Now, I'm a Baptist. I'm a Baptist by conviction. But I am out there to represent Jesus Christ. Okay? And it is. It gets involved in that. Now, in the Bible, it's very clear the word is apostolos. The apostle. The word apostle meant a sent one. I believe every missionary has to have that drive that I have been sent by God to do a job. Because it will make you tear through the roof. It will not let the crowd disturb you. You will work everything you can to get people to Jesus Christ. It's a fact. But that word is also translated in our Bible, our English Bible, by this one simple word, messenger. Messenger. Notice that? Epaphroditus was a messenger. The church over in Philippi gathered up a big old offering for him. They had that big old offering waiting and laying there. They said, who's going to deliver? Now today it's easy. You just send it to me. It gets wired. It's easy, right? They didn't have that. Somebody had to say, I'm going to take it. And Epaphroditus took it. And he bore the message of the church to them. He is a messenger. Four missionaries. Do you notice that in that verse back there? There were four people. Many were gathered together, no room to receive them. He preached the word, and there came bringing one sick of the palsy who was born of four. Who are the four? Who are they? What's their names? Can you name them? No, of course you can't. Who are these men? You can't name them. They were unnamed people. But they were some of the most important people around, weren't they? Because these people had received something in the Lord Jesus Christ. They had met Jesus Christ. And it had changed their lives. And they had been changed to the place that when they had a friend that was a paralytic, they said, I know where we need to take you. We need to get you to Jesus because He changed our lives. And it's very important that we remember that. They brought him to Jesus. And what did they do? They said, get this guy to Jesus. You know, the answer is get them to Jesus. Get people to Jesus. And that's our job, is to get them. These four, they were missionaries. They brought this man to Jesus. They brought him there. They faced a lot of opposition. And when they could not come nigh, they could have quit. What does it make you quit? Why do you quit? Listen, the idea is we got a message and people need it. And that message, if it hasn't changed you, then you can go out and kind of act like you're going to do something, but it won't drive you. What drives us is what God, in this faith relationship with Him, has done to me. He has done to me something. He has moved me. He has given me one great promise. And you know, this is the great promise that we need to see. When Jesus saw their faith, your faith relationship to Jesus, what kind of relationship has it brought to you? Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. That's what it is. I'm going to illustrate it there by Noah. Wait a minute. Ooh. Pardon me. You guys, I forget. You know, I have somebody doing this for me. I don't stop and do all this. Forgive me. Uh-oh. They had a faith relationship. Take a look at it here. And I want to illustrate that faith by Noah. Now, faith, Noah, he got warned of God of something. And what? Did he know anything about a flood? Did he know anything? No. But God said, hey, wake up, Noah. Wake up. Now, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He, by faith, moved with fear. He says, you know, if God says it, He means it. He means it. And I need to be involved in it. He prepared. You see, faith is all about, it's a dynamic thing in our life. It's not something that's static. And notice what it did. What did it do? Well, He saved His house. Do you know every one of us, by faith, comes from our father Noah here, don't we? Had Noah not done what he done, none of us would even be around. He saved his house. And he condemned the world. You see, you say, you know, but I've tried. And people get angry at me. I don't like it. But people need to hear it. Because the gospel is for everybody. And everybody is either going to receive it or they're going to reject it. And you know what? Our job is only to tell them. And then the Holy Spirit can go to work But if you don't tell them, if you don't open your mouth and tell them, the Holy Spirit can't go to work, can he? The Holy Spirit cannot work. He condemned the world and he became the heir of righteousness. Every one of us spiritually goes right back to Noah, don't we? How many heirs do you have? Spiritual heirs. Do you have any? See, that's what it's all about. Now, over the years, God has given us a nice harvest in Indonesia. We have all these wonderful Indonesian people that have loved us and cared for us and become heirs of salvation because we carry the message to them. All right, I'm going to stand over here so I don't get the fall on my phone. Okay, you guys, sorry about that. All right, now, he declared the man's sins to be what? Forgiven. And that's the relation, the faith relationship we have with Jesus. I often ask my students, when Jesus lowered that man down, what did he say to him? Did he say, get up and walk? No, he did not. He said, son, your sins are what? Forgiven. Change your life. That's what would change your life. You know what? My sins are gone. God is not going to remember them. He is taking care of them. Now that's a message, folks. That's the message. My friends, look at this. Look at the message that Paul had. Being known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man, is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. Are your sins forgiven tonight? Two of the first young girls that we reached, young Muslim girls that we reached when we started this ministry. They weren't with us long. They were contract workers there in Jakarta. But they came and they found Jesus Christ. And I would say, hey, do you have Jesus? They say, hey, right here. Sins are gone. Do you know that? You see, that's the key to it. That's what drives you. You say, you know what? I'm okay. But you know what? Not everybody else is. And that's what it's all about. It's all about that. By Him, all that believe are what? Justified from all things. You made just perfect. God is not going to judge your sins. He is taking care of the sin problem. Young man, he said, your sins are gone. It's a done deal. Really? Yeah, really. Really. But you know what? It's easy in our life to begin to allow doubts to creep up, isn't it? And as Jesus was sitting there, He was with a whole crowd of people that did not believe it. You know, Jesus proved His words to them. Jesus wants to prove to you, your sins are gone now. Get over it. And start doing something. Take that message. You get a hold of it. You see, half the Christian population, maybe much more than half, if you ask him, you say, well, you know for sure your sins are gone, say, well, I hope so. This isn't a hope so deal. Did Jesus say, well, maybe your sins are gone? He said, son, your sins are forgiven. They're gone. Because Jesus took care of it on the cross, didn't he? He paid it all. It's a done deal. Yeah, right? But you know, that's confusing to people, isn't it? As you begin to think about it, people begin to say, oh, well, it can't be that way. Religion gets involved in all this. I work among Islamic people. No Muslim believes that his sins is really sure that his sins is forgiven. You say, well, I'm 99% sure. 99% is no good. And you know why? You keep doing what you're doing because you're worrying about yourself. And you know, when you're worrying about yourself, you know who you're not going to worry about? You're really not going to worry that much about others. It drives you into yourself. And they were sitting there. There they were. Oh, certain of the scribes. Reasoning in their hearts. Are you reasoning in your heart about your sin? Why? Do you believe Jesus or not? He proved it to you. It's done. He took care of it. Why does this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins? Only God can forgive sins. And immediately, when Jesus perceived it, Jesus would like to have a talk with you right now. You ready? He's going to talk to you about it. Do you really believe this? Yeah, I did it. It's done. I finished it. And he said to them, why do you reason these things in your heart? Why do you beat God's word around? Why can't you accept that Jesus Christ took care of it? You know, why? And Jesus answering said unto them, do ye not therefore err? And why do you err? Very simple. You know not the Scriptures. You listen to other people. You listen to your religion. You listen to your culture in Indonesia. You listen to everybody else. But you don't listen to God. You don't pick up your Bible and let God talk to you. Let Him talk to you. And you know when He talks, say, hey, your sins are really forgiven. They're gone. They are. Look at that. Yes, they are. Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, your sins be forgiven you, or rise and take your bed and walk? Which is harder? Which is harder, to say your sins are forgiven or take up your bed and walk? What do you think is harder? See, people think, oh, it'd be harder. I need to be well. We pray for the sick, don't we? God can heal. You can know His power. You'll feel His touch in your life. But so often, we think it's harder for God to heal a person than it is for Him to forgive his sins. So, it was harder for God. Actually, God had a much harder job, didn't He? But He said, hey, I'm going to make this simple. And so what did He did? He told the young man, He said, well, don't worry about your sin here, does He? But that you may know that the Son of Man had power on earth to forgive sins. He said, I want to show you some power. Son, get up and walk. Take up that bed. And they're going to complain about Him taking up his bed, right? They're always going to find something wrong, aren't they? But you know what it means to you? God can do and has done what He said. And now what should I do? I need to allow the power of God to work through my life. People always talk, I want power with God. I want God's power to work through your life. Huh? Let it go. Let God do something with my life. When I was a 15-year-old boy, I surrendered my life to the Lord. I recognized, God, this is your life. What? No, you're not. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Right? In there. Right? Got him? You're not your own. You were bought with a price. I bought you. I paid for you. I took care of your sins. Therefore, glorify God with your what? Your body and your spirit. Right? Get this body thing going. And we do. Immediately rose, He took it up. And so much that they were all amazed. They glorified God. We never saw it in this fashion. You see, God makes everything simple, doesn't He? He says it wasn't simple for Him, but for us. He said, son, your sins are forgiven. So what are you going to do about that? Are they? Really? Yeah. I want to prove it to you. Read my book. Stay in the book. Stay in the Word. How many times have you heard that in your life? Hey, stay in the Word. Let Him talk. And when He talks, He proves it to us. And what He wants to prove is, I can take your life and I'll use that power. I have seen it in my life. I don't deserve it in many ways. We were talking about it today. We have a lot of things we don't deserve, aren't there? Yeah. But we get them. And God wants us to have them. He wants us to enjoy them. And so we need to just get a hold of it. Do you believe Jesus is able? Do you really believe Jesus is able? Yes or no? God is able. It's easy to say that, isn't it? What does He want to do? What does He want to do in our life? He wants us to pour some more grace in there, doesn't He? See, because it all works through the grace of God. You get in that faith relationship with Jesus Christ and it runs on one thing. Not our work, but His grace. And He begins to dump grace into our lives. Well, where do you get that grace? When you pray, what throne do you go to? We go to the throne of grace, don't we? That's the one that's open. That's the only one that's open. There is no throne where, you see, the Muslim believes in his heart and his life, I've got to take my works to Jesus. Here, Jesus, look at all I've done for you. No. Jesus said, I did it for you. I took care of your sins. And now I want to pour that same grace into your life. And what does that grace do? It'll make us abound in our lives so that we have sufficiency in all things, right? I got enough. I have enough. But, hey, and abound to what? Every good work. And what's the good work that we can do? Jesus said, go. Share the message. It's what we do. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And we are ambassadors for Christ, aren't we? You know, God could choose many, but He chose us. Though us believers. Get on it. Let's do it, folks. Let's put the problems behind our life. And let's get Jesus in it. And let's allow His grace to move us. And He said, you know, what I want you to do is I want you to go out there and tell the world, be ye reconciled to God. As we travel, as we go about in Indonesia, we have these little tracks. That's okay, brother, just let it lie. Peace with God. Damai! Again, oh, simple track. Peace with God. Everybody wants peace with God. We share these. Become a great vehicle. And that's what He said. Be ye reconciled. See, God has reconciled Himself to man in Jesus Christ, hasn't He? To wit, that God was in Christ, not counting our sins, and hath reconciled us in where? In Jesus Christ. It's a done job. And that's what He wants you to tell. Just go tell Him that your sins are forgiven. Would you believe it? Would you trust it? And that's what God asks us as a church to do. That's what God asks me as a missionary that He sends forth. And when He touches your heart and your life, each of us then needs to be involved in it. Quickly, I'll just run through this. So are you a missionary or a mission field? Three types of mission fields. First mission field are the hard ones. They're the wayside. Satan has cut them out. And especially if we see it in our society, we work in an Islamic society, and the Muslims, they want to control people. They want to control your life. They want to keep you away from Tom. When we first moved in the community they were in, people were terrified of me. They thought I had a magic wand. I could touch them and turn them into a Christian. They were scared of me. Little by little they found out I'm a human person. You know? And you get the opportunity to share the truth to them. But it's hard. It's the wayside. And the devil is continually doing it. Pop Tom, we just can't. We cannot do that. We cannot do that. We have been Muslims all of our life. And we're afraid. And our community wouldn't be happy with us. There's not ever reason in the world. But you need to keep sowing the seed there. Someday, maybe some will drop and it'll get by. And the devil won't trample. And then secondly, I'd like you to notice also, there are those that are on the old hard ground out here. You know, they're the intellectuals. We have a lot of intellectuals. We have one of the most intellectual Islamic groups in the world there in Indonesia. They're very intellectual. They'll talk with you. And I mean, tell you, they have got it all down. They've got it all nailed down. And they'll say, well, no. You know, we know all about that. We know how it works. And many of them have said, well, we tried Christianity and it didn't work. Have you ever met anybody that tried Jesus and said it didn't work? I tried that and it didn't work. What did you try? D- Did you really know the true Jesus? Did you meet the true Jesus? I've always used the book of Mark. I try to get them to start. Would you start reading in the book of Mark? Did you read the book of Mark? Get them somewhere. Get to work on them. These intellectual people, they got all kinds of ideas. But you know, they're the kind of people that someplace along the line, somebody sowed it and they kind of got interested in it. And they may have even given themselves to be baptized at one time. But now they're as hard as a rock. But they still need it. You need to keep dropping the seed everywhere. And here, folks, here's the toughest one. These are some of them people that are even saved. You know, they believe in Jesus. Yeah, I received Jesus. But they've let the world, they've drifted in the world, haven't they? Yeah, and you begin to let the weeds of the world grow up in your life, don't you? Yeah, and you get to be so fond of, you know, I need more of this. It's all there in Jesus' Word, wasn't it? He told us about that seed. And it gets among the thorns. Weeds and thorns grow up in our life. And what do? They choke the what? And it becomes what? Unfruitful. That's the saddest position to be. That's where the devil wants every Christian. And we need to help him. We need to tell him the truth. We need to tell them the truth. You know why? You have to go right back and start all over. Jesus has saved you. Your sins are gone. If you have Jesus in your life, you need to start really finding out who Jesus is. Grow in Him, right? I see it out there, right? Okay. And then, what do if you grow? You serve. You need to be serving. And that's where we all should be. There's only one good field, isn't there? I mean, there's only one missionary. And what happens in a missionary? He hears that word, wow. He receives it. And he doesn't say, well, you know, it's tough though. You know, I got to make a living. Hey, wait a minute. What happened to the grace of God? How did you get saved? Well, yeah, but there's no buts about it. Don't drift from God's grace. I heard it. Yeah, I heard it. And he changed me. Did he? Yes, he did. Peter denied him 3 times. And God said, you know what, Peter? I'm not about to throw you away. Is he? Peter, do you love me? I remember, Lord, I had a little problem back there, huh? Well, you did. Yeah, you did. You thought you could do it all, couldn't you? Well, I know. I failed you, Lord. Yeah, you did. Do you love me, Peter? Well, Lord, you know I love you. Do you love Him? You know, He keeps using that one word. That word of filial. And I think sometimes we misinterpret that verse very badly. It's that personal relationship with Jesus Christ. If it's there, it's there. And it continues to be there. Yeah, Lord, I do love you. I feel that relationship with you. That's why I'm sitting here tonight. He said, well, Peter, do you really love me? And this time, he didn't say, do you agape me? Do you have that overpowering, your working love? He said, do you feel that relationship with me? And he said, yes, I do. You know, Lord. And so what did he say? You got it right, buddy. What did he tell him to do? He said, get out there and start serving. Feed my sheep. Get out there and serve. It's there, folks. It's for us. You don't quit because after you received it, you begin to get some thoughts or you allow the other things to come into your life. Or if you have, you get down and you say, God, bless God, I'm going to go on. And He says to you, that's what I want. Your sins are forgiven. Now get out there and tell the message. And get to work on it. And grow in Him. So we will. And what does it do? We bring forth what? Fruit. You bring forth fruit, don't you? You share it with somebody. Yeah. Somebody hears it. I say, thank you. Many times you never know. It's amazing sometimes. The events that happen in your life, you never even knew it. You shared it and you thought, man, that was see ya. I mean, that was of no value. But it is. And there it is. And that's where you get it. So, are you preparing yourself to be a good missionary? Are you a missionary? If God has saved you, you should be. But you know, sometimes we can get in that third group and we really are back to the place where you need a missionary to just tell you, come on, Jesus wants to use your life. We want to be a good missionary. We want to bring forth that fruit. And you need to prepare for that. I beseech you therefore, brethren, we hear the verse all the time. How many times have you heard this verse? Huh? Do you say it to yourself occasionally to say, okay, Lord. All right, here we go. Present your body by the mercies of God. Present your bodies to what? A dead sacrifice? It's living. Why is my body living? Why am I a living sacrifice? Because Jesus is there, isn't it? I'm alive. I'm alive in Jesus. I was saved when I was 7 years old. 15, I realized what I had. And not long beyond that, Jesus called me to be a missionary. And I've loved it. I've loved every minute of it. I wouldn't give up anything for what God has done in my life. I wouldn't give up churches like yours. Brother Jimmy meet me. I don't know why he liked me. I don't know why he ever brought me down here. But I thank him for the opportunity. I thank him for the opportunity to be here right now. Jesus is very good in everything that he does, you guys, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Jesus is there, holy, acceptable unto God. We live holy lives. We get concerned about living in a way that we will not bring reproach to the name of Jesus Christ. And not conform to what? The world. The world doesn't dictate to me. That's hard. And we struggle with that in so many ways. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may what? Prove. Prove what? Prove what's bad? No. Prove only what is good. See, God only does good. You see the good come from it. Acceptable. Perfect. Will of God. Father, thank you today for these wonderful people. I know we preach a little hard, but dear Lord, touch our hearts and our lives. Build the fire in our hearts. Let it keep burning, dear Lord. As it was with Jeremiah of old, he said, you know, Lord, I don't want to tell this story anymore. Nothing seems to work. Everything gets worse. But the fire was burning. Let Jesus work in each and every one of our hearts and our lives, dear Lord. And let us today realize that the most important thing that we do in this world doesn't have anything to do with politics, doesn't have anything to do with the world, doesn't have anything that's happening around us in many ways. It has to do with making sure that you can use this life, this vessel. That, Father, you can take our lives and these things. These lives are amazing things. They can face amazing problems. They can be kicked down. They can be thrown down. They can be pushed around. Everything can happen to them. And yet, God, you use our lives that we can share the gospel of Jesus Christ to the lost and dying world. We get the message out starting right here, Princeton, and we reach to the very ends of the world. Father, thank you for this wonderful church. Thank you for the opportunity to be here. Just pray, dear Lord, that you'll guide and direct, that this church will continue to serve you as you would have them to serve you, dear Lord. These things we ask in thy blessed name. Amen. All right. I think it's still... Do I got a little time? How much time I got? What time? Now, they told me. They said I had to quit by 8. Is it 8 o'clock yet? Huh? Is it close? Let's see, I'm looking at my clock, I can't see. It says it's 4 minutes after eight. I'll give you 5 minutes, okay? I'll give you 5 minutes. Anybody got a question? Anybody? No questions?
What's the percentage of Muslims?
90%. Indonesia is the world's largest Muslim nation, but we're not an Islamic state. What it means is any Indonesian that wants to change his religion can. Okay? It's not against the law to change your religion. It can be difficult. We can witness to every Muslim in Indonesia. They can't stop you from witnessing to them. Now, they try all their ways, but they can't stop it. You have every right. Any person in Indonesia that wants to change his religion can. And they do. Now, the artists, all the artists in Indonesia, they're continually changing. They're changing this religion. Well, they were this today, they're that tomorrow, you know. And it raises all kinds of havoc. But that's the glory of Indonesia. Indonesia is one of the great places in the world, you guys. It's a great opportunity to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Any other? Good question. 90% of them are Muslim. We have the whole string. Fanatics, not fanatics. Most of our Indonesian Muslims are more modern. Any other questions? All right? Nobody else? Thank you for everything. Can I thank you again from all my heart for your faithful support over the years? You guys have been so good to us, and I appreciate your prayers. I know you do pray for us, and we need them, and we thank you so much for it. All right. Thank you so much.
As Brother Tom shared tonight, I couldn't help but think of a very familiar passage in Romans 10, 14 and 15 that says, "How then can they call on the one whom they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news." And thank you to both of you for having beautiful feet and taking the message of the gospel to the nation of Indonesia. We appreciate you guys and your faithful ministry over the years. So as we close tonight, I encourage you guys to take some time and speak with Tom and Janice and let them know about your love for them, your thankfulness for them, and it's been a privilege to partner with you all over these years. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we do pray for Brother Tom and Miss Janice. We thank you so much for their love for you, for their love of the people of Indonesia. Lord, we thank you for how you have just worked through them in the hearts and lives of those who did not know you. Lord, we give you all the honor and all the glory, all the praise for the things you've done as they've been able to go and plant churches and start the Bible school and the Christian school there for the children. And Lord, we just thank you for the many things you have done. And Lord, we know it's only through the power of your Holy Spirit, as you speak to people's hearts and draw them, that you have done all these things. And Lord, we ask you to just bless them and encourage them in their travels, give them a great time with their family over Christmas, give them safety as they travel home, give them good health, and Lord, just to continue to give them the passion and the vibrant witness there in Jakarta. And Lord, we just pray for the people of Indonesia, Lord, that many more would come to know you as Savior, and Lord, that they would love you and serve you with their lives. And we pray and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.